Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you. So we're going to get in the Word tonight. I'm excited, but I got some stuff. They're gonna bring it out. I want to introduce you to some of the things that I have tonight. You can just put that right here. Michelle, give it up for Michelle and Philip. They're working real hard. They're earning their keep today. You might be wondering, what the heck is this pastor doing? First of all, I just want to confess something to you. I do not have a green thumb, okay? Most things that I plant die a brutal, gruesome death. I'm not gifted in that area, but I got a couple things here today that I want to share with you. This right here, you can't really see it because you're down there. Maybe the camera can zoom in. You can see it on the screens. This is a seed. Somebody say seed. This is a seed. It's planted. You don't really look at it and think of it as much, but it's there. It's there. Then I got right here something that's progressed a little bit, a little while longer, okay? This is a small plant. Then right here, I got something else. I got the next phase. I got a larger plant. And what I want to tell you tonight is that this is that, and that is this. And if you're really lucky, this becomes, put it up on the screen, I got a picture, that. You know what that is? That is the tallest tree in the world. It's called a coast redwood. It's got a name. It's called the Hyperion. It's in California. And you see how tall that thing is up above the forest? You see kids right here at the trunk of it, so you can see how wide it is. What I want to tell you tonight is that this, the seed, that, the seedling, this, the plant, and that are all the same. They're all the same thing. But if you're not careful, this and that and even that can also become this. Come on out, Michelle. I'm gonna get an email about this, I know. This is a crusty, dying, dead little guy right here. And I wish I could tell you that it was a natural cause, but man, I spent about an hour in the shop just going to work on this thing. This right here is not a healthy plant. I don't know if you can see it, but it's not in good shape. It's crusty. It's breaking. It's not good. It's got rocks in it. And what I want to preach on tonight is that if we're not careful, all of these things can become that. All of them. And I want to show you something from the Word of God. Everything you see here on this stage, those four examples and this, they are all the same seed. But they are in different seasons. And some of them have different dirt. Same seed, different seasons. So would you look to your neighbor, the least intimidating one, you know? If you're with your spouse, you should probably look elsewhere, you know? The least intimidating one. And would you say the name of this sermon? Help me preach it. Say, this is that. This is that. All right, you're preaching. We're getting there. We're working on it. These things here, they're all quite different. But the difference between these four and that massive tree that you saw on the screen, the difference is not the seed. Same seed. The difference, Christians, brothers and sisters, is the season or the soil, the dirt. We're going to preach tonight on the dirt, and I'm not going to preach it to you. The words of Jesus Christ are going to come and preach this message to you. Jesus Christ had a lot to say about the dirt. So if you got your Bible, open it up. Boot it up. Turn it on. If you don't have it, don't worry. We've got the biggest screen in the world right behind me. Luke chapter 8. Okay, this is a parable that you can find in the book of Matthew. You can find it in Mark. But we're going to read from Luke. Luke chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming up to Jesus, this is what was happening. He's into his ministry now. People are following him. They want to hear the words of the rabbi. They were coming to Jesus from town after town. What did he do? He told them a parable. Christ loved to teach through parables, and his parables, my friends, were incredible. In fact, 33% of his teaching was in parables. He taught in over 30 parables. They are precise, and they are specifically crafted to apply to our lives, even today, 2,000 years later, even today. So here's his parable, verse 5. He says, a farmer went out to sow his seed, okay, let's catch that, his seed. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path. It was trampled on. What happened? Birds came and ate it up. It was wasted. Some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because they didn't have roots. They didn't have moisture. They couldn't. It was shallow. It was rocky. The other seed fell among thorns. This time there's soil, but there's thorns, and the thorns choked out the good stuff. They choked the plants and took all the nutrients. But still, verse 8, the other seed fell on good soil. And get ready to get excited. It came up and yielded a crop, but not just any crop, 100 times more than was sown. Anybody like the sounds of 100 times more? Anybody like that? You can get excited about that. 100 times yield. Look, I'm not a farmer, but I do know how to use ChatGPT. And the best yield that a farmer can ever hope for is a 7 times yield. If you get 7 times more than what you planted, you're doing good, man. Jesus Christ is saying in good soil, in good dirt, there can be a 100 times yield. So the question you should be asking is, how do I get that? How do I get the 100%, the 100 times yield? How do I see that in my life? Well, the first and most important thing that you need to realize that you're not going to like, you're going to wish the worship was still going on right here, is my first point. This is what you need to realize, Christians. This is what I've had to realize. You're not the seed, you're the soil. You're not the seed, you're the soil. That's a Christian way to say you're the dirt. You're not the seed, you're the soil. And what I want you to know is that we don't get to pick what the farmer sows. That's what the farmer gets to do. The creator gets to pick the seed that he plants in each of us. We're not the creator, we're the creation. But rest assured, just like in all those scenarios in Christ's parable, you have been given a seed by God. He has planted potential and purpose in you that is far greater than you know. God is not a God who does cheap, lazy work. He does good work, and he gives good seed. Amen? Come on. Who am I preaching to tonight? He gives good seed. God doesn't make garbage. He made you exactly how you are because he wanted you exactly that way. You are not an accident. This world will tell you that you're the result of just chance and evolution. You're not. You're a son and daughter of Jesus Christ. And God saw you in the womb, and he formed you and grew you exactly how you want to be. How he wanted you to be. Exactly how he wanted. He doesn't plant garbage. If you don't believe me, I know you read this in your grandmother's kitchen. Jeremiah 29 verses 11 says what? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. What? To prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you a hope and a future. That sounds like a good seed to me. You got a good seed in you. This world today will make you think that you don't, but you do. Your purpose is already packed with promise, and your seed was custom made by your creator. The word that was planted in you, my friends, is not defective. It's not defective. Your purpose was custom made just for you. Your DNA put into you on purpose. Amen? You believe it? I got you. Amen. But then we got to look at something. There's a lot of different results that can happen. There's a lot of different
outcomes that can happen from the seed that God plants in us. And any plant that you see that is not thriving like this guy, you guys probably can't see, you're down there. It might look good. It is not good, okay? This thing is on its last breath, all right? I did my best work on this guy. Any plant you see that is not thriving, almost always the issue with the plant is not the seed that was planted, but it's the condition of which the seed is in. The condition that the seed was put in. The soil. The condition of the soil. And yet, what I want to talk to you about tonight in the few moments we have is, as people, the main thing we do is we look at our seed and we play the comparison game. And we go, what is my seed, God? What is my calling? Am I going to be a tomato, or am I going to be a mighty redwood tree? What do you have for me? Am I gifted enough? Am I tall enough? Am I outgoing enough? Am I intellectual enough? Am I beautiful enough? What am I enough? We spend so much time looking at our seed. What I want to tell you today is stop wasting your life away worrying and wondering about what your seed is, because it's good seed. God planted good seed in you. Stop worrying so much about the seed and what the seed will grow into, and start worrying about the condition of your soil. What is the soil? In this analogy, the soil is your heart. Because here's the thing about the seed. Seeds almost all look the same. I got a bunch up here right now. This right here, I'll see if I can show it to you. I'm going to put a couple out here. One of them will grow to a 20-foot tree. One of them will grow to a tomato. But you can't tell the difference. You can hardly see them in my hand. And if I didn't have the package to show me, I wouldn't be able to tell you what these are going to be either, because they both look the same to me. But in the seed form, they look the same. When they're growing, they look a lot different. I don't know the future of the seed, but I do know this. I know the Father who planted it. See, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know the next chapter of your life, but you know the author of your story. And he's a good God who is for you and not against you. But what you need to understand in Christ's parable, we read it wrong, is that you're not the seed in the story, you're the dirt. I'm the dirt. You don't believe me? Genesis 2:7, what did it say? God formed man from the dust of the ground. We're formed from the dirt. Isaiah 64, we are clay. That's dirt. Clay in the hands of the potter. And here's the thing. Nobody celebrates dirt. Nobody comes up and goes, wow, look at your dirt. That's impressive. Wow, look at that big pile of clay. That's impressive. But everybody appreciates what grows out of good dirt. What you ate today was the result of good dirt. If it was just bad dirt, you wouldn't eat. You wouldn't live. A lump of clay is nothing, but you put a lump of the clay in the hands of a masterful potter, and my friend, you might end up with something that is priceless, something that ends up in a museum one day. See, we're not the seed. We're the dirt. We're the soil. And soil is not impressive. But the next point I bring to you tonight to consider is this: soil's job is not to be impressive. Soil's job is to be soft, to be open, to be receptive. See, we want to be impressive, but that's not the job of soil. The job of soil is not to be famous. The job of soil is to be faithful. To be faithful to what the sower has sown. There's a mature Christian who started clapping in the back. I appreciate you. Put him up front next week, please. You're getting there, bro. Don't worry. In this parable, though, the soil is a direct analogy for your heart. So tonight what I want us to do is to look into our hearts, to do a soil test, to do a condition analysis. What is the condition of our hearts? Is our heart still soft to the things of God, still open? Or is our heart hardened? Has it become calloused by the things of this world? Because in Christ's parable, all four, same seed, but very different hearts. very different soil. And even though it's the same seed, there's four different outcomes. So I hope you're encouraged that you have good seed in you. But now I hope you're challenged by Christ's parable that you have a job to do. That I have a job to do if I want to end up like that or like that and not like this, which I don't. Because see, the seed fell on the hard ground, like this hard ground, on a path. Those seeds have no hope of ever growing into anything. What happened? They were wasted, trampled on. Birds came. Someone else took the blessing of that seed, not the one who was meant to receive it. Hard paths are completely unreceptive. Has your heart become so hard that no one can tell you anything anymore? That when you hear the preacher preach, or when you hear your mom talk, or when you hear the spouse who confronts you on something, you say, no, I got it figured out. I don't need anything you have to say. That, my friends, is not good soil. That's where the seed that God keeps pouring out into your life gets wasted and trampled on. What's the next one? The rocky ground. See, this ground has a little bit of soil, but it's mixed with rocks and it's shallow. It's not deep. And the roots grow and they grow a little bit, but now they're choked out. This is like the believer who gets excited and is so happy and is so all in. But then when the first challenge comes, it gets choked out. Because there isn't a root system. There isn't a foundation built. There's no depth. The next one is thorns, man. Thorns in 2025. I think this is it. What are the thorns in Christ's analogy? It's the distractions. It's the bills. It's the status. It's the followers. It's how we spend our time on everything. But then we're asked to go to church 1.5 hours a week. Are you kidding me, Jesus? We are so distracted nowadays. God is planting good seed in our life, but everything else is sucking up the nutrients with distraction so we can't grow. But then lastly in the parable, there's good dirt. There's good dirt, just like this good black earth dirt that you see right here that is open and receptive and moist and just ready to grow and ready to do what the seed wants to do. Why am I walking you through this? Because what I want you to understand is that maybe it's not the seed. Maybe it's not what you've been given. Maybe it's all about what you do with it. Maybe it's all about what you do with what God has trusted you with. It's not about the seed. Because my friends, even the best seed, the seed of that mighty Hyperion, that redwood tree that I put up earlier, even that seed on hard path has no hope of growing. And I want to tell you today, God has given you good seed. But what is the condition of your heart? Is it soft to his ways? Is your character and prerogative in line with what the word of God says? Because if you're anything like me, man, I want it to be, but this life gets hard. And I get off on the wrong path. And every now and then, I got to test the condition of my heart. And I say, God, I need to open back up to you. If your heart is open, and if it is receptive, then I hope you're getting ready. Because if you are this, if you are soil, this will become that, and that will become that, and this has a potential to grow into something spectacular in your life. Don't take it from me. Read Luke chapter 8, a couple verses further, verse 15. It says what? The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. Who hear the word, that's step one. Who retain the word and preserve it. They protect the seed. What happens? They produce a crop, not just any crop, 100 times yield. I said they get exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that they ever could have even asked, thought, or imagined. What if you have a seed in you that is so good you couldn't even think about it? Because if we're being honest, who is your worst critic? Think about it for a second. You are. My goodness, you would never tolerate for someone else to speak about you the way you speak about you. If they said the things to your face, what you say to yourself, man, you would punch them in the face. Turn the other cheek, Jesus. You'd be. Really, we are our own worst critic, but what I want to tell you is that there is such a good seed in you. Jeremiah 29:11 isn't just a slogan, it's a promise. You have great seed in you. But the translation of this parable, especially verse 15, is simple. It's this. It's that the outcome is not about what was planted. The outcome is about obedience. It's obedience to the sower. It could be said like this. Our job is obedience. God's job is the outcome. Our job is to say yes. His job is the outcome. But Christians, be careful. Be careful, be careful when you're growing. When God plants that idea, that relationship, that new job, that program, and you're just stepping into it, that ministry calling that you've accepted, and you're just stepping into it, be careful, because soon you'll be like this, and you'll have a little bit of roots, but soon as the devil sees something sprouting up, it gets his attention. And this is the phase where you are vulnerable. This is the phase where he can come in and he can attack. When you're that mighty tree on the right, he can't do anything to you. But when you're this, yeah, when you're that, you're good, bro. But when you're this, this is when he throws everything he can at you. Sprouting seeds are susceptible to attack. So when you start something new, you be very careful. Here's what the enemy loves to use more than anything else. This is his number one trick. His number one tool that he will use to kill the seed that God planted in you is something called comparison. Comparison. Comparison has the potential to kill your seed. Not just make it grow smaller, not just to make it sick, I mean to kill it. There is no more effective way to kill your seed than to start comparing it to others. There's no more effective way in your life. The best way to stop what God is doing in your story is to be so focused on what he's doing in everyone else's story and to start going, God, how come that's not me? To start comparing your seed. How come he has that? Why can't I be like her? Why can't I be like him? Why can't I look like her? Why can't I talk like her? Why can't I have her personality, his followers, his success? Why can't I have any of that? All along you're going seed, 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 seed. Why can't I have their seed? The Lord sent me in camouflage, weird-looking pants to come up here to tell you tonight that it's not about the seed, it's about the soil. God gave you good stuff. It's in you. But we spend all our time going seed, 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 compare, 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 compare. And what I want to tell you is wishing your seed with someone else's seed will harden your heart quicker than I can spend $100 on Temu. And trust me, if you're my wife, I can roll through $100 on Temu. Look, it ain't nothing but a thing. They got that spinning wheel of deals. You click that. If you don't know, don't download Temu. I was going to say you get great stuff. That's a stretch. You get stuff eventually. Eventually, and it's a great price. But Christians, trust me, comparison is a tool of the enemy. You can't park your seed, your beautiful seed that God has given you, in the shade and the shadow of someone else's tree and expect it to be fruitful. You can't. And expect it to thrive. That spot was not meant for you. That spot was meant for them. They have a good seed too, but it's a different seed. Why? Because you're all uniquely created in the image of God. He's got a plan specifically for you and specifically for her. But if you park there, you can't get the light. You can't get the rain. It gets sucked up by their seed. Young people, don't park your seed in the shadow of another. You're still young. God has something amazing for you. This girl, I won't say her name. She came up to me at River a couple weeks ago. She said, Pastor, I'm single. I just don't think I'm ever going to get a husband. It keeps always falling apart. I'm going to be single for the rest of my life. And I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be compassionate. So I'm being compassionate. And she's crying. And I'm like, I'm going to pray for you. And, you know, we can talk about this. I'm like, how old are you? She's like, I'm 22. I'm like, girl, you're too young to be married anyway. What are you stressing about? You're 22. But the devil had her buying the lie that because she got dumped once, she'll be dumped forever. and her seed is no good. No, you know what was no good? That ex was no good. God was looking out for you, girl. You don't know what's on the other side. He does. See, you don't pick your seed. You don't get to pick the package. You're not the planner. He picks the seed. It's good seed. But don't resent your seed before it has a chance to grow. See, you're thinking this is the end of your story. This is just the beginning. You're 22. This is just the beginning. One day you'll be this. And if you keep good soil, a heart open to the word of God, one day you'll be that, because this is that. It's not a matter of will it be. It already is. The question is, will you keep your heart after God? David was a man after God's own heart, and that confuses me, because David also was an adulterous murderer. What? How can you be an adulterous murderer and also a man after God's own heart? He messed up time and time again, but still at the end of the day, his heart was always open. He had what we would call good soil. Keep your heart open. And nothing, my friends, nothing, nothing will harden your heart quicker than comparison. Goodness gracious, today in 2024, comparison. 2025, thank you. It's March, it's almost April. Usually I figure it out by June. Today in 2025, this whole world functions off of something called comparison. But make no mistake, comparison is the great thief of joy. On the other side, gratitude is the great giver of joy. Yeah, you know what? God, I might not be that yet. I might just be this right now. But I believe what your word says. You got good plans for me. You got a good man for me, so I'm not settling for him. You got a good job for me, so I'm not taking that anymore. You got a good church for me, so I'm not going to stop looking. I'm not going to stop going. I know there's the one that you have for me. God has good plans for you, but don't waste your life away in the trap of comparison. I did some research. The average person in North America, you ready for this? Spends 2.5 hours of their day directly or indirectly comparing themselves or some facet of their life to another person. 2.5 hours per day. I'm a nerd. I did a little bit of math. 2.5 hours per day is 18 hours per week. That's a good part-time job. 18 hours per week. You know how many hours that is in a month? It's 72 hours a month. You know how many that is over the course of a year? It's 864. 864 hours of your year, you're comparing yourself to someone else, your seed to their seed. That's the average person. I don't know, you might be above. That's just the average. Then I did some math. The average lifespan in the nation of Canada is 81 years. You do the math, and you multiply that amount by 81 years, by the average life, that's 69,984 hours. You know what that translates to? 8 years of your life. The average person spends 8 years of their life comparing their seed to someone else's seed. Jesus Christ didn't teach parables because he felt like it. He taught parables that he knew you would need in 2025. He knew this would be our problem. 8 years of your life wishing you were someone else. Imagine what you could do if you watered your soil for that 8 years. If you pivoted and you took those 2 hours per day, when the enemy comes and gets in your head and says, well, you're not like her. You're not like him. You can't be like him. They're not like us. I shouldn't have said that. Whatever happens. The Christians are like, what's he talking about? Why are people laughing? That's not funny. Don't worry about it. What would happen if you took 2 hours per day and instead of staring at another seed, you watered your own? How do you water it, Pastor? You get in the Word of God. You pray. You exercise gratitude. God, my life is not perfect, but look what you've given me. I woke up this morning. I could be in a hospital bed in my last moments, but I'm healthy. I got legs to walk. I got a mouth to speak. I got ears to hear and eyes to see. We have so much to be thankful for. But trying to grow your life in someone else's light, it will not work. It's kind of like this. It's like having an iPhone and trying to plug it into an Android charger. It looks the same, but it's not going to work. It's the right system. Where are the iPhone users at? Can I see the iPhone users? Put your hand up real high. I just want to see who's anointed, wise, successful, brilliant minds. Put them up real high, iPhone users. You are my people. I love you. Then there's the other people. The other people that ruin every group chat that you've ever been in. I'm talking about green messages. Messages were meant to be blue. Why do you just want to be different? I don't want to download WhatsApp. I want to text. Get an iPhone. When you start when you start dating, this is the first thing. You know, you guys were getting a little sleepy earlier, and a preacher once taught me if you're losing an audience, just offend them. Make them real mad, then they'll listen. Half y'all hate me right now because you're Android users. But look, it might look the same. You plug it in, it's not going to work because it's a different system. I know those seeds look the same, but they're different. God has given you something different. And here's where it gets even worse. With your anointed iPhone or your less than anointed other thing, you know what you do all day, every day now? I do it too. You scroll, baby. You scroll and you scroll and scroll. And you know what you're doing when you're scrolling? You're comparing and comparing and comparing his seed, her seed. Wow, that seed's really growing. Wish I could be like that. Him, her. And here, let me tell you how deadly this is. Because before these things, we used to compare ourselves only to our friends. The average person has 21 friends or acquaintances. That's 21 people that you used to compare yourself to. Generally, they're in the same stage and season of life that you are. Some of you are like, 21 friends? Try 2.1. Hey, it's about quality, not quantity. But you used to compare to people in the same season as you. Now you get on here and you compare yourself to millions of others that are in different seasons. You see people posting the six-pack of abs. And you're like, how come I have a one-pack and it looks a whole lot different? It's because they've been in the gym for 6 years, bro, but they don't post the picture from day one. They post the picture 6 years later, and you haven't even had day one yet, and you're all down on yourself. Saying, I'm not like them. They got a better seed than me. No, they worked hard. And they've never eaten carbs ever, and they're probably miserable. It's not a good trade. I tried. But these things accelerate, and here's the worst thing. You go from real to real on Instagram, on TikTok, and you compare yourself to the real. But y'all, it's called a real for a reason. It's not real, R-E-A-L. It's R-E-E-L. It's not even a real thing. Honey, those eyebrows and those eyelashes you've been comparing to, she bought them. They don't even belong to her. Okay? The handbag she's wearing is fake. She got it at Pacific Mall. Don't put that on YouTube. Bro, the car he's stunting with, posting a picture, it was a rental. Worse, it wasn't a rental. That Tesla was his Uber that picked him up. But he's flexing. Check out my Cybertruck. Y'all, we have traded the perception of our seed, what God has given us, for a superficial fake highlight reel of other people's stories that aren't even true. And be careful when you do that. Why do you need to be careful? Because if you're not careful, your soil will start to harden up. And your heart will start to resent the good seed that God has planted in you. Or even worse, your heart will start to resent the good sower who gave you the seed that you have. This is a mature message. This is not for everybody. I know you just want to hear God's going to do it. He's going to deliver me the finished product. It's going to be 6'2", tall, dark, and handsome. Honey, no, you're going to have to put some work in. It's not how it happens. But the Word of God has a way of watering your heart. A couple weeks ago, I preached on the precious Word of God. So we got to learn to soften our hearts with the word of God, with gratitude. God, I don't have it all, but I have you. And if I have you, I got enough. No, I have more than enough if I have you. So the prayer is, God, don't let my heart harden as I compare the season that I'm in with the season that they're in. This is not a better seed than this. It's just a different season. And this is the result of a hardened heart. Because that's not a soil, that's a rock. When your soil is become so hard that you can no longer receive what God is giving you, the provision for your seed, this crusty thing is the result. And we're walking around in a world with a lot of people with hardened, crusty hearts. And we're trying a lot of self-help. And we're trying a lot of meditation and a lot of better practices and a lot of better living. My friends, let me tell you something about self-help. If self-help worked, when you went to Chapters in Indigo, there wouldn't be 99 self-help books if one of them worked. But there is one book. There is one book that has withstood the test of time. There has been civilizations and empires that have tried to crush it. There have been people who have tried to disprove it. But thousands of years later, there's still one book, the greatest story ever told. And it does not offer you self-help. It offers you God help. And when God comes in, you better get ready for your tree, your yield, your 100 times, because it's coming. But understand this, God does not bless impersonation. He blesses obedience. He blesses obedience. My last point before we go back to worship, don't forget this, there's different seeds that grow at different speeds for different seasons. Different seeds, different speeds, different seasons. Let me ask you something. This is going to be crazy. Have you ever planted a seed? Here's one. And then just pulled up a chair. And it's exciting, isn't it? It's enthralling. Look what happened. When you plant the seed, in that moment, it seems like nothing changes. But actually, everything changes in that moment. When you receive the seed that the sower scatters, and remember what Christ said, he scatters it. He gives the seed. When you receive that seed, you might not see something sprout up right away, but now you have a gift that if you will take care of and water will grow into something marvelous and something spectacular. But see, for the next while, the next day, the next week, maybe even the next month, you may not see anything happen above the surface. It doesn't mean nothing is happening. After you plant, nothing changes in that moment, but everything changes. It's not the most glamorous season, but it's the most important season. While I was on ChatGPT doing my research, learning about plants, because I knew nothing about plants, I learned about bamboo. Anybody come from a country that has bamboo? We don't have much bamboo in Canada. A little bit out west, but not much. I was learning about bamboo, and something about bamboo blew my mind. When you plant a bamboo seed, talk about boring. Absolutely nothing above ground happens for 5 years. You sit there on your stool for 5 years looking at a bamboo seed. Nothing above the surface will happen. But let me tell you something. Under the surface, there's a lot happening. People don't see it. People don't celebrate it. People don't even know about it. But there's a root system that's developing under the surface that will one day hold a mighty tall bamboo tree that will withstand any storm that this climate can bring to it. What I am telling you this story, there's some of you where God has been working deep down under the surface. And he has been in the dirt with you. And he's been building roots. And he's been building a system to withstand the storm. storms that are going to come because he's omniscient. He knows it all. He knows what you're going to have to face. And you're crying out, God, why? Everybody else is growing. Their tree is 5 feet. Their tree is 10 feet. Let's make it practical. They're married. I'm single. They got the job. I don't. I'm still working part-time. They have the career. They have the status, the followers. Nobody looks to me. But hang on for a minute, brother. Hang on for a minute, sister. Year four is the hardest year. Because everybody else is now married. Everybody's on their way. But don't let the devil quit before you see year five. Because bamboo in year five does something miraculous. All of a sudden, with no warning, with no notice, it sprouts up. And this is crazy. Put a picture on the screen. In 6 weeks, bamboo grows 90 feet tall. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. That's 30 feet tall. Times that by three. In 6 weeks, bamboo goes from that, where you don't see a thing above the surface, to something mighty like that. God wants you to know tonight that he's working on you. He's doing something under the surface, and your friends don't see it. Your followers don't see it. People don't see it right now, but your fifth year is coming. It's about to be bamboo season, baby. We're going to grow. We're going up, and we're going high. But God's kingdom is a seed-based kingdom. It's not Amazon Prime. It's not instant coffee. That's what they give you in prison. I went, no, just to, you know, just clarify. It's slow roasted coffee. It's the good stuff. It's the stuff that takes time. But different seeds are designed to grow at different speeds and in different seasons. Just because your seed is not growing as fast as hers does not mean that hers is better. Your season is coming. God knows your future. I say all this because I want you to know that 90 feet is on the way. A crop yield of 100 times more is coming your way if you will stay soft and water your soil with the word of God. I know you're frustrated right now because you haven't been seeing the results. But roots take time. God is not in the business of fast fruit. He's in the business of long-lasting fruit. The fruits of the Spirit take time. But they pay a dividend like no other. Don't take it from me. We're almost done. Worship team, y'all can get ready. Take it from the prophet Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. That's what you need to do when you don't see anything above the ground. You got to trust in the Lord. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him, not in other seeds, not in myself, but in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends its roots by the stream and does not, and that tree is so amazing, it does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. That's what he has for you, not just a good season. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries even in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. That's what he's working on in your story. That's the kind of seed that he's given you. But blessed is the one who trusts in him, not what this world has to say. So friends, understand tonight, in so many words, I'm trying to tell you, you're not the seed. You're the soil. And you have a job to stay open to your creator. So we're going to stand to our feet right now. And we're going to do probably the most important thing that we could do. We're going to water our seed. We're going to water our seed through worship. And I want you to know, if you're the person in this room that has let their heart get so hard because everything's been good for everyone but you, that's how you feel. I'm not mitigating your feelings. I don't even know your story. I have no license to do such. But I want to tell you, God loves you. God wants to pour out to you. He's got a reason for the speed. He's got a reason for this season. But he wants you to know tonight that in just one moment, he can come in and change your soil. He can change your heart. He can make it warm again, soft again, open again. So I want to ask everybody in this room to do something. I want you to raise your hands high like this, both hands. It's not Pentecostal. It's not charismatic. It's not any of the labels that we put on it. What you're doing right now, this is the universal sign of surrender. You go anywhere in the world and a police officer puts up his gun, this is what you do. I surrender. Tonight, just a moment of surrender. Just a moment of opening up your heart to him again. Saying, God, I trust that you've given me good seed. And I'm giving back my soil to you. I don't know why, I don't know when, but I know who. And I know it's you. So tonight, we're going to worship. And we're going to sing. And we're going to put Jesus back at the center of our story. We're going to fix our focus on him. Because we've made it so complicated. But it's not complicated. It's good seed, good soil, good God.